Good morning and welcome in to the Saturday Morning Scramble, week two of the Saturday morning. Well, I don't know, Jed, since the high school league does week zero,
yeah,
maybe last week was week negative one for us.
I don't really really hew too closely to what the high school league does.
They played
football and people got to put tick marks in the left-hand column and it counted.
And they paid to get in. It was a real game. It counted, like you said. So week one, week two of high school football, or week two of the Saturday morning scramble, we're glad to be with you this morning. Cole Bryce and Jed Blackwell every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 right here on ESPN Upstate. The best high school football coverage you can find on a Saturday morning is right here on ESPN Upstate. I want to quickly say, several ways for you to get in touch with the show. You can call in. We'd love to have your thoughts. 844-477-3776. That's 844-477-ESPN. Maybe you were at a game last night. You want to talk about it. Feel free to call the show. You can text the Health Dare text line. Text 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate and on the web at ESPNUpstate.com. Jed, you know, it would be really nice if we came into this show most weeks and you and I saw two different games.
It would be.
It would be very nice.
That's gonna be some of the time. It's not gonna be all the time.
That's right.
Because of where I work and who you cover, yep, and the way things fall. Matter of fact, there'll be a couple of weeks where we get tired of seeing one another Friday night, Saturday morning. We might as well just ride together.
That's
wherever
right.
We're going.
Last night there were several games, and we'll talk about those games coming up, and we'll get to all of them. Last night, Jed, you were at Chapman Union. That
yes.
game was in Inman, and I was at Burns Greer. Let's do this. First reactions on a Saturday morning. Again, you can call in 844-477-ESPN. Biggest surprise last night for you. I'll give you mine. Obviously, there were several teams that were still off, bye weeks, but your biggest surprise from last night's games?
My biggest surprise last night was Chesney 28, or Woodruff 28, Chesney 20.
Sounded like a good game.
Yeah, I was at the game last year, Coach Adams' first game at Woodruff,
yeah,
where it was 44-0 Woodruff.
Wow.
And it was 44-0 Woodruff because Woodruff decided that it would be 44-0.
Keegan Holler.
And letting off the gas late.
Yep.
And for Chesney to have – Clay Lewis wasn't named the coach until March,
right,
or so.
Right.
For – him to make that much difference that quickly is amazing to me.
No doubt.
And from the people that I've talked to that were there, I had, I don't know what you call it, dinner, breakfast, whatever it,
yep,
was at 1 o'clock in the morning, with some people that were there. And they said Chesney had a legitimate shot to win that game.
No doubt.
It's not surprising to me that Chesney was more competitive. Mm-hmm. It is surprising to me that they were able to look Woodruff in the eye and be in it late and be able to have a chance,
no doubt,
to put it away.
Listen, when I was looking at the final scores last night, that one to me, when I saw that score, I was thinking, wow, I would have loved to have been there. You know, we talked about all week the Burns Greer game and the Chapman Union game, but I thought, man, that Woodruff Chesney game, it was so close. It sounded like a very good game. So we are excited to have Bradley Adams, the head coach of the Wolverines, join us on the program this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. So, we're excited to talk to him about the game last night. Like you said, it wasn't as close as his first win over Chesney last year, but Woodruff Wolverines, after losing a great quarterback, still able to find a win. So I'm, you know, that's very big for Bradley Adams.
Yeah, it looks like their running game is coming along really well. I think the kid's name is Shamar Dendy.
Yes,
back there for Woodruff, he's the deal from everybody I've heard talk about it. He is the deal. What was your biggest surprise last night?
Well, you know, after looking at the scores, I think getting home and realizing that Spartanburg was still playing, you know, it's not often on a Friday night you get home from your high school football game and the Braves and the Spartanburg Vikings are still playing. So I obviously was following both, and Spartanburg losing to Nation Ford, and I know they have a couple of guys out, but – oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Like, who saw that coming?
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of a learning process. You know, they named a quarterback last week.
Right.
Zay Foster is their starter. I think there's going to be an adjustment process and a learning process,
yes,
especially with Coach McManus being new and calling the offense. I think they'll be okay. But You're right. Nation Ford's kind of a head-scratcher sometimes.
Man, I've seen Nation Ford a couple of times over the past several years, and they've never been good. Now, it sounded like, from the reports I had, that the offensive line for Spartanburg just was not good last night.
Well, they had a couple, like you mentioned, they had a couple guys right out. And you sit on the bus for or a locker room or wherever for 2.5 hours.
Right. Didn't waiting, start till what, 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30 was the report that I had. And I don't know if it started right at 9:30.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Blacksburg and Buford were in the same situation. But, you know, it's better to delay the start than to have to
cut it.
Play for a while
like
and
Dutch
then pick
Ford
back
did.
Up. Yeah,
I think Dutch Ford canceled.
Did they ever? Okay.
No, I say canceled. That's the wrong word. But
the last report I saw was 27-27
in the
fourth quarter.
That was the final score.
Okay.
It ended in the fourth. They just caught it. That's the better way instead of canceled.
And that's a sad situation because that's 2 years in a row. That's a national matchup. That's a huge.
Was it televised too?
Yeah, it was on ESPN.
I think it was on
too.
ESPN.
that's a huge. Huge national, well, regional, certainly, definitely national matchup.
Absolutely.
And to have it cut short like that 2 years in a row, last year, I think they started and played a little while. Last night, they got a good ways into the game. And, you know, they were into the fourth quarter.
Right.
But to have to back out of that at the last minute, it's not great.
Well, I saw an interview, I think Lou Bezjak, maybe our friend from the state retweeted it, but it was an interview with Knotts after the game. Obviously inside, but you know, like you said, we got lucky last night in Greer. It was a beautiful night.
It was gorgeous in Emmen. I needed an Evan Road outboard to get from my house to Chapman. I went early because I did a little TV spot last night, but to get up there,
Ford.
Yeah, it was terrible. But about 5:35, 5:40, everything cleared off, and by 7:30, it was all systems go. And I think there was a little bit of lightning close at the end of the game, but not close enough to warrant pulling everybody off the field.
And I was following along on Twitter. There were several other games that were affected by lightning as well. Let's hit some final scores from last night. Week zero is behind us. We are now entering week one. Week one is where we are. Again, Nation Ford, the Falcons defeated Spartanburg Vikings 20-6. That was my surprise of the night. Didn't really see that coming. The Burns Rebels defeated Greer 33-8. Dorman had no problem with Wade Hampton, 58-7. Chapman on top of Union, 53-37. Jed was at that game. We'll talk about that game in the next segment. The Woodruff Wolverines defeated Chesney by a score of 28-20. The Broome Centurions get a win last night, 20-14 over Central. And the Landrum Cardinals fall to Blue Ridge, a game that I got wrong in my picks. I picked Landrum, and Landrum gets an L to start the season. Blue Ridge scoring some points last night. I think that surprised me a little bit as well, Jed.
Yeah, they've got a little freshman quarterback who's already got an offer from Georgia.
Really?
As
a freshman?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I can't remember his name. Blue Ridge is not a team that I cover regularly just when they're playing our guys. And I heard he was pretty good. And apparently he's pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Landrum was up. Landrum was up 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then down 14-8, tied it again at 14, and Blue Ridge just kind of took off from there.
Some guests coming up on the program this morning at 8:30. We will talk to Reggie Shaw, the head coach of the Burns Rebels. Obviously, we had the call of that game last night right here on ESPN Upstate. We'll talk to him, let him give his thoughts about the game last night and about the Greer Yellow Jackets at 9 o'clock. We will talk to Bradley Adams, the head football coach of the Woodruff Wolverines. In his second year at Woodruff, he is 2-0 in these opening games. So we'll talk to Bradley Adams at 9 o'clock. And at 9:30, we will talk to Mark Hodge, the head football coach of the Chapman Panthers. Just to give a little teaser before the break, Jed, Chapman was like killing Union.
Yep.
And then the Union came back.
Yep.
What was it? A 30? What was the deficit before?
It's 38-7. It's 31 points.
38-7 was the score. Mm-hmm. Was that at halftime?
No, it was 31-7 at the half, and Chapman got a stop, got the ball back right at the beginning of the third quarter, went straight down the field and scored.
Wow. Well, for all of the games, we will get to them. Again, for you to get in touch with the show, you can call in 844-477-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. You can text the Health Dare text line. Text 71307. Start your message with ESPN. Cole Bryce and Jed Blackwell with you this morning. On the other side of the break, Jed Blackwell will give his thoughts on the Chapman Panthers as they were able to get a big win over the Union County Yellow Jackets last night, but not before Union made a very strong effort to bring this game back close. We will hear his thoughts before we talk to Mark Hodge, and we will break that game down next on the Saturday Morning Scramble right here on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in to the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Cole Bryson, Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald-Journal is co-hosting. Patrick Brown on the board as always. We appreciate him, and we appreciate you. If you were at a game last night you want to talk about, you can call in 844-477-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. You can text in at 71307. Start your message with ESPN. The Saturday Morning Scramble powered by Founders Federal Credit Union. Jed Blackwell from the Spartanburg Herald-Journal was at the Chapman game last night. We hinted, we previewed a little bit before the break. Again, Chapman was up big. Jed, when you were at halftime, it was 31-7. Did you have any sense that Union could come back?
I thought they could. I thought they could make a little bit of a run because of what they do. Because of,
yeah,
Keyshawn Glover is an amazing athlete at quarterback.
Right.
When the ball's in his hands every play, like he's going to be, you're a missed tackle away.
Something can happen.
Yeah, you're a missed tackle away from him making something happen. Now, I didn't know that I would still be very interested in a 31-7
right.
game at the half with 5 minutes to go.
Right.
I did not know. I didn't see that coming.
Yep.
Credit Union County, and both coaches said last night, they never quit.
Right.
They never, ever quit. They kept playing. They kept going. They made it. They had a couple of good things happen, and then they made a couple of good things happen. And, you know, that's a dangerous combination.
Was Chapman's defense just that good in the first half?
Chapman's everything was that good in the first half. Yeah, they looked like a machine in the first half. Two interceptions.
Yeah,
that's big. Ran one back to the 12-yard line and set up a touchdown out of that. Hit a big 69-yard pass at the end of the first half. Ben Rollins got behind everybody.
You're going to say that every week.
Right. I told you last week, Ben Rollins got behind everybody. Right. They hit that big one. I don't know if Day-Day Mitchell made a catch last night that wasn't contested and tough and highlight reel.
Wow.
He looked great. So they were – Dante Smith carried the ball well. They were rolling in the first half.
Wow.
Second half continued, came out rolling, went up 31 points.
Yeah.
And then – subbed up in a couple places. Union County got a safety. Keyshawn Glover did Keyshawn Glover things.
Right, right.
Hit a big pass deep into Chapman territory. There was a penalty. Glover scored on the next play. So now it's a 9-point swing.
That's big.
Union County gets a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a 15-point swing. And, you know, it got interesting there for a minute. But Colasurdo came back out, settled everybody down. Chapman scored a couple times. Union County scored and went for two and got it late inside of 4 minutes.
Right.
And actually pulled it to within 45-37 onside kicking to take possession in the lead. Chapman recovered the kick, put together a little bit of clock grinding drive. Fourth and one, Colasurdo went 33 for a touchdown.
I was just surprised that with as high-powered as Union is, I really didn't think they would come out so slow in the first half.
Well, they're young.
They
lost four offensive linemen. Holden Cook is the only returner up on the offensive line.
Wow, that's big.
It's what you know, and first came out. You're still finding out what you're good at. And last year, it took them until just before the region season to identify to find that identity. I don't think that'll be the case this year. And Coach Hodge said last night he'd be surprised if this isn't a November matchup.
And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we know this about Union. They've done this forever. They have the toughest, if not one of the toughest, non-region
schedules. Oh, it's brutal.
Year.
And when a trip to AC Florida next week is your week, in quotation marks, off in
exactly.
the non-region season,
that's
ridiculous.
Yep.
Because they come back home after that, and it's Broome, and it's Gaffney, and it's Greer.
Exactly.
Hey, congratulations.
That's unbelievable.
If you're making a list of people you think will be around come state championship time, that list includes Chapman and Greer and Gaffney.
Right.
And Union County gets to play all of them.
Just a very good performance last night by the Chapman Panthers. 53-37 was the score. Let's go to the phones. 844-477-ESPN is how you can get in touch with the show. Daredevil starts us off. What's up, Daredevil?
Good morning, fellas. Hey, Cole, I was in the stands last night. I Of course, I had to make a guest appearance on Greer Radio because, you know, that's just how I roll. But I listen to you. I can't listen to you. I can't do it in the stands on account of the delay.
Right.
But I listened to you some in the car coming home, and I thought you'd done pretty good for your first run, Cole.
Well, I appreciate it. It was fun, and we had a good time.
Yeah, I thought you'd done pretty good. Now, for my main man, Jed, a couple of questions.
All right.
Is Landrum is way down from graduation? That's my first question.
They graduated a lot of experience. They have 19 seniors again this year. They've got a big senior class, and, you know, a school Landrum size, that's not common to have one huge class follow another one. They don't have, you know, they got 650, 700 kids. That's not a bunch of students. But they lost a bunch of experience, and a lot of that experience was on both lines, and that's where it's going to show. They're going to be fine. They're just, you know, they've got a new starter at quarterback. They've got new starters on the line on both lines. They've got to break in a new linebacker. They're young, and it's going to take a little bit for them to gel.
And secondly, is Spartan High still bad or not very good for the 5A? I know you have your podcast, which is world famous, which I'm still waiting on this week, by the way.
Well, you'll be waiting a minute for this week. I'd set my sights on next week if I were you.
Yeah, well, it's hard for me to set sights. But
you're right. Valid point.
is Spartanburg still, I don't say bad, are they still in the process or whatever?
Yeah, they're still in the process. They're still finding their way. They just identified a quarterback on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that.
It takes a while. They'll be fine once region play gets here. Now, being fine in this region is, you know, the world's toughest high school football region, just about.
Yep.
Being fine in this region is another matter, but there'll be some bright spots. They're growing. They're doing some things. They're adjusting. New coordinator. Coach Miller's calling the defense again, so you got to get used to that too. So, you know, they're going to be okay.
Hey, Daredevil, before we hit a break, I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Your thoughts on Greer last night. We'll talk about it more later on in the show, but your thoughts.
They got some great players in key positions, especially on defense. I think they got some really good receivers. I'm hoping Izzy Rhodes, he's not going to be Dre Williams overnight. He may never.
Listen, he's good, man. He is good.
I think the quarterback is in a learning stage. He can hit receivers at times. I mean, you saw it. But I think Greer run the region. I think they're okay.
Yeah, they're very good. I think they were very good. Thanks, Daredevil. Appreciate it. We'll talk more about the Burns-Greer game coming up in the program. Reggie Shaw, head coach of the Burns Rebels, joining us at 8:30 in just a few minutes on the program. So, Jed, final thoughts on Chapman Union. Even though Union lost, you would say Union's still going to be just fine.
If I don't see this matchup again in November, I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Chester will have something to say about it. Woodruff might have something to say about it. Broome can play a spoiler. There are some other teams around the upstate who I'm sure will round into contenders. But right now, Union County and Chapman I expect to be two of the final four in the upper state.
And for Mark Hodge, you know, his team can, especially in the past few years, they've been able to light up the scoreboard. At times, they've given up a lot, you know, last night in the second half. But, you know, if you're scoring 53, I mean.
Right. I'm not certain.
Who's concerned?
I'm not certain what anybody can do with that.
Right.
Because, you know.
How do you stop? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
We were talking, Coach Hodge and I talked for my preview before the game.
Right.
And he said if they did some good things pre-snap, if they were deliberate and did intelligent things and did what he wanted them to do pre-snap, he thought some good things would happen. If last night's first half is what he meant, then I'm not certain what anybody's going to do. I'm being honest.
They're in trouble.
Right.
On the other side, we will talk to Reggie Shaw, the head football coach of the Burns Rebels. The Burns Rebels last night defeated Greer 33-8. We'll talk to him up next. This is the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Back with you on the Saturday Morning Scramble, ESPN Upstate. Anywhere in the world on the radio.com app. Cole Bryce and Jed Blackwell with you this morning, powered by Founders Federal Credit Union. We appreciate you listening, and we'd like to bring in our first guest of the program. That is the head football coach of the Burns Rebels, Reggie Shaw. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Who got less sleep?
I don't know, man. It kind of runs together this time of year.
It does. We appreciate you taking time to join us, Coach. The Burns Rebels get an opening win in week zero, 33-8, over a very good Greer football team. Coach, after you've had a night or a little bit of a night to sleep on it, your thoughts on last night's game?
Yeah, I think we found a way to finish well. It was a typical first game. It was a great atmosphere. It was loud and hostile atmosphere, and had some young guys playing. Made some mistakes early, kind of, you know, traded series and ball back and forth. But just proud of how our guys didn't flinch, showed a lot of composure. Some seniors stepped up and led and kind of got us settled down. And, you know, anytime you can get a win against a rival, you got to feel good about it.
Coach Lawrence Scott last night, 14 of 18, 249 yards and 3 touchdowns. You can't ask to be more efficient than that.
Yeah, that's where I point to senior leadership right there. Quarterback decision making is got to be crucial, and what he did with the ball last night was phenomenal. The Greer defense was getting after it, brought a lot of blitzes and some concepts we hadn't prepared for and hadn't seen, and you know, he was able to either get the ball out quickly or elude people with his feet to just keep us going, and just played phenomenal. Just real proud of Lawrence. And Rajay Harris stepped up as well. Just had a big night. I wish we had less penalties because he ran for 100-plus and only got credit for 81.
Coach, I was going to ask, looking at the line from last night, if there's such a thing as a quiet 150 yards of offense, Rajay just comes to work, doesn't he?
He does. He's you know, those guys just are really locked into their senior year, want to go out in a first-class manner and prepared himself for it. He and Lawrence continue to lead that offense and make everybody else around them better. He got stronger as the game went. Kept turning his legs. I don't think one person ever brought him down.
Coach, I want to ask you about the Greer defensive line. I mean, from my perspective, they just absolutely dominated at times. What did you know early on in the game? There were times where Lawrence just didn't have enough time to do anything because of the pressure they brought. What adjustment was made to get him more comfortable in the pocket?
Yeah, I think some of it's just two sophomores playing in their first varsity action. You know, you get a little big-eyed, but those guys are veterans on their defensive line. We knew they were pretty good. They were good last year, so you expect them to be better this year. And Coach Perry does a good job mixing up some blitzes, so – you know, guys were coming from all over the place, and they came free at times. Some of it very correctable mistakes. Some of it we got to get better. But, you know, we just settled them down, simplified, and just tried to go back to base. We had some success running the outside zone on them and then able to hit them on some play-action passes and then some vert routes that we thought would come open.
Coach, when you're in the situation – like you were last night, I think the two teams have played 58 times. Mm. One of the oldest rivalries in the state, certainly. Mm-hmm. But at Burns, it seems like everybody's a rivalry. You've got one every other week. How do you keep your kids up for those games? I mean, I know it's Friday night football. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a certain edge. But how do you keep your kids focused on just what's in front of them rather than what's next?
Yeah, you know, it's a daily approach to focusing on us. But you know, we tell them all the time, and now I think they believe it. There's a bullseye on us, and everybody's going to bring their A game when they get to play Burns just because of tradition here and some of the hype that goes around this program. And so, you know, you better be ready to play and stay ready is what is the concept that we just kind of preach every day.
Coach, I want to ask your thoughts. A little bit of a transition offensively at the coordinator position, going from co-offensive coordinators last year to Dura, kind of calling the plays on his own. I thought last night the play calling was exceptional for Dura. Your thoughts on the offense and the way they were able to strategically call plays last night to keep Greer off balance?
Yeah, Dura is very composed, guy that he doesn't get rattled very easily, but, you know, he's got a great support staff around him, and Russ Howard, and Trey Bailey, and Craig White, Hans Badishan. You know, it's a great group that kind of work together to see things and make adjustments. And, you know, I thought his adjustments were crucial at halftime. You know, we felt like we could get the outside zone going, and anytime you can establish a run game, it opens up the passing game. And then you saw some of the results of some of the big touchdown strikes afterwards. And, you know, just letting Lawrence do his thing with his feet as well. If it wasn't open, we give him the green light to get what he can get. You know, we just don't want to have negative plays on offense. That's my biggest thing. I don't want to turn over the ball. And so after that first one in the first half, we had a little talk, and he kind of settled down. Lawrence did, and Dura did a good job just managing the game and not getting us in negative situations.
Coach, Najee Crouch, 2 interceptions last night. And I'm telling you what, you talk about somebody that was
almost
just
3 now.
It was right there on the line.
No doubt. And he just comes to play. He's just a neat guy to be around. He brings energy every day, gives you his best. It doesn't matter what he's doing. If he's running a sprint or if he's doing a drill, he's just a great kid to coach, man. He loves the game and brings passion and energy with him wherever he goes. So just excited for him to get an opportunity to continue to this year.
Reggie Shaw, the head football coach of the Burns Rebels. Coach, before we let you go, the Rebels travel to Northwestern on Friday night, second game in a row on the road. Anything you know about this Northwestern team?
Yeah, they brought a head coach back that was there, the former regime, and so you think you're going to probably see some of the things they did in the past when they were very successful. But, you know, it's always been a rivalry as well between Northwestern Burns, so playing at their place on turf, new head coach, probably be some excitement generated there with the change. Defensively, I know they've always been good. Offensively, kind of an air raid approach, and so probably going to play fast and challenge our guys just to stay focused and communicate well and line up and play in a hurry.
Coach, thanks for your time so much. Get some sleep, and we'll talk to you soon, Coach. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
That's Reggie Shaw, head football coach of the Burns Rebels. They were able to pick up a big one last night over the Greer Yellow Jackets. We will take a break, and on the other side, we will take your calls, 844-477-3776. That's 844-477-ESPN. You can text the Health Dare text line, 71307. Start your message with ESPN. This is the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in. Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate. Week 0 of high school football is behind us. We are looking ahead to week 1 as we have a lot of games played last night, and we will get to those scores. But before we do, let's go to the phones. We have several waiting. 844-477-ESPN's the phone number. The first caller, Brock Gaffney. Brock, play-by-play voice of the Gaffney Indians. What's up, Brock?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hanging in. How about you?
I'm pretty good. I got to enjoy a lot of good high school football last night, listening to several different broadcasts, listening to you guys, Cole, with the Burns game. Also, we've gotten to watch some of the Dutch Fork and Mallard Creek games. So
there you go.
Last night was enjoyable, but I know we won't have a Friday night off, hopefully, for a while after last night.
Well, listen, Gaffney didn't lose, so there's your first positive.
That's correct.
But they didn't play.
But yeah, that's true, too. We actually did play in a scrimmage at Wren at Palmetto against Wren High School last night.
How'd that go?
Gaffney coming away with, I think it was, we won 21-14. We actually pulled our starting quarterback after about 2 series. So we had our starting running back, Kelvin Kirby, had a big night for 3 touchdowns. And then Caden Richards, our starting free safety, is a Furman commit. He had 2 interceptions last night. So a lot of positives last night. But, yeah, Andre went out with, I think, just what was a big hit that kind of rattled the coaching staff. They didn't want to see that again, so they went ahead and pulled Andre Lindsay out. But
surely didn't.
Still, Gaffney, yeah, they didn't. You know, Andre's too valuable. He's a returning starter and just a junior, so you don't want to risk getting him injured in a silly preseason jamboree. So I think this Gaffney team's ready for the first game of the season. It's going to be fun. We open up with three straight home games against Greenwood Union and Mallard Creek. So it's going to be a fun start to the season for the Indians.
Congratulations, Brock. You are the play-by-play voice of the Gaffney Indians. Congratulations. We're excited to have you on throughout the season, man.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm excited for this season. I feel like this is going to be one of the better seasons of high school football. I listened to the Burns game last night. Didn't get to watch it, of course, but I feel like Burns has got a really strong team. Dorman, you know, had a big game last night.
Yeah, they barely
offensively won. Against Wade Hampton, Travis Miller-led Wade Hampton. So I think this year's high school football is going to be very competitive. I got to watch Dutch Fork last night. Yes, they're good. But they displayed a couple weaknesses last night. So I know it's still week zero, but, you know, it's early in the season. But I think it's going to be a very, very fun year.
Bro, that's what I've told a couple of people. They're not unbeatable. And last year they were, in my opinion. I think they were unbeatable last year.
Yep.
This year they're a very good football team, but they're not unbeatable. And that game last night with Mallard Creek, that brings up – I know why you were watching, to familiarize yourself a little bit.
Right.
With at least one opponent and possibly two down the road. Mm-hmm. How much are you looking forward to that Mallard Creek Gaffney matchup? Because to me, regionally, that's a matchup that should happen all the time. You got a powerhouse in North Carolina. You got a traditional power like Gaffney. That should always happen. No further away from one another than they are.
Yeah, I agree, Jed. I'm really excited for that game just because it's going to give the Gaffney fans and also the Mallard Creek fans, they're going to get to see a team they don't usually see, and it's going to be a very competitive game. It's going to be at the reservation, but the only problem, you know, I watched that Mallard Creek team. They have a very, very big defensive line. They like to bring pressure. That's going to pose problems for a Gaffney team that's got five fresh starters on the offensive line. So it's not going to be an easy game for Gaffney, but it's going to be a very competitive game. But that is week three. I think the game that Gaffney needs to be worried about is week two against the Union County team, who was down big to Chapman last night, stormed back, and had a chance to win the ball game.
Yeah,
being there last night, Keyshawn Glover is special. He is a special quarterback. And they found a threat outside. I should have mentioned him earlier, Jabari Meadow. He made a couple of catches last night, one on the sideline that would have been good on Sunday. He is a fantastic receiver, and they exploited a couple of matchups last night, Union County did, in the second half. I think he had eight catches for 148 yards in the second half. He was the difference.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, and I think Brian Thompson's really got those kids to buy in. I think it speaks, you know, it shows that when you're down to a team like Chapman and you don't give up, you come out in the second half and you put your nose to the grindstone and churn out some points. So I've got that game circled on my calendar, that Union County game. It's in between, you know, the first game of the season and probably one of the biggest matchups early in the season. It's one that can definitely sneak up on the Indians.
Yeah, you'll see a good one that night.
Appreciate you, Brock.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, sir.
You're doing a great job, and keep it going. I'll be listening.
Thanks man. Much. We appreciate you. That's Brock Kamrick, the play-by-play voice of the Gaffney Indians. Let's keep it on the phones, 844-477-3776. Speaking of radio, guys, Richie from Somerville, I think, is on hold. Richie, you there, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you, man?
Good, man. Glad to be back in the box. You know, I get the chance to be the voice of the Green Wave on ESPN down here in Charleston, man. And I don't know about you guys, man, but I'm exhausted, man. I mean, I get to call every play. I mean, these coaches get to take a play off when their defense is on the field. You know, they get off, they get to go watch film or vice versa with the offense. But it was a good opener for us, man. We hit the road, played Woodland last night, first time we've ever played Woodland. It's in the same county. It's a 2A school, but they got some crazy athletes and some good speed. A wide receiver, Davis, already committed to Virginia. Gave us all we could handle at the beginning, but made the adjustments and able to pull out a 51-26 victory before we head to Wando next week. But glad to be back up on the air and glad to see high school football moving.
No doubt, man. We're excited. We're glad it's finally here. Seems like we've been waiting forever, and we're glad to have it back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at it, you guys mentioned that Dutch Fork game. I hated that it ended the way it did. Mm-hmm. It was what tied up, I believe, with the thunderstorm coming through, and Mallard Creek was giving them all they can handle, man. And again, you know, unfortunately, they've knocked us out of the playoffs 3 years in a row, and so we're we're eager to rebuild and reload some positions, man. But yeah, to see high school football back up and around, and I know you guys doing what you do up at Burns, seeing the positive outcome you guys had last night, man, it looks to be a very exciting football season.
No doubt. And listen, Dutch Forks knocked a lot of people out of the playoffs, so no sweat there, you know.
No doubt about it. Hey, let me ask you this, though, man. When you start to kind of look at things, I know Fort Dorchester is a big school down here. They had a big game last night against a team out of Georgia. They won. But you start to kind of think of other teams. And for us, we always look at you guys at Burns. We look at Spartanburg. Dorman, I believe you guys said they barely pulled theirs out last night. You know, so in the low country, we look up to certain teams over there with you guys. Who do you guys kind of focus on in the upstate when it comes down to looking at the lower state besides Dutch Forks? And maybe even a Fort Dorchester.
Well, by barely pulled it out last night, we mean Dorman won 58-6, or yeah. 58-7.
Exactly.
They scored on their first two plays. But when we're looking down that way, it is the Dutch Forts and Somervilles and Fort Dorchesters of the world. Back, you know, 5-7 years ago is Goose Creek. But honestly, and this is not meant as a slight at our low country friends at all, it's only been the past 3 or 4 years we've had to look at the lower state because there was cross bracketing, and especially in the 5A region, it didn't matter because you knew you were going to see another region 2-4A at the time team when you got deep into the playoffs. Because I think for the 25-30 years of Division I and Division II play, mm-hmm. every year there was a team from this region in the state final, yeah. and 16, 18 of those years they played each other. So it's a new thing having to pay attention to the lower state, but it is the Somervilles and Dutch Forks and Stratford sometimes and those that group that we try to kind of keep pace with.
Yeah, you know, and you look at Stratford, unfortunately, they took a tough one off of Timberland last night, a 2A school. And you know, for us going into Woodland even, man, you look at a 5A program going into a 2A program and everybody's wondering, well, you know, what's the game here? It's nice to go down the street to play a team that has AstroTurf Field. They've got like a 5-star stadium. But if you end up like Stratford and you play a 2A team out of Timberland and they lose one in big ways, I mean, it's a lose situation. So, you know, when you start to see some of these schools kind of going down, it's kind of like that Michigan Appalachian State deal. I do want to ask you guys this question because you guys are wrapped up deep into the high school level. The one thing that I push a lot on a show that I do Monday through Friday, and that is the likes of trying to get high school and college rules married together. You know, if we're trying to teach our athletes or our students in the classroom to prepare them for the next level, I think that maybe we should look at that at the high school level with intentional grounding rules and certain rules. I know we brought the 42nd clock in this year. That's kind of new.
It is.
But what's your thoughts on bringing in intentional grounding and the pocket and that kind of thing? Because it's not that big a difference between high school and college.
Listen, I think that's a very valid point. I mean, you look at all the rules that are differentiated. I mean, I saw intentional grounding last night that's different from the college. So that's a very interesting question. I think that, you have a valid point. There are several high school football rules now that sometimes we kind of wonder about. But that's a good question, man. We appreciate the call. We'll send it to the break. On the other side, we will talk to Bradley Adams, the head football coach of the Woodruff Wolverines. You're listening to the Saturday Morning Scramble on ESPN Upstate.